Pekit in Cotabato placed under a state of calamity due to massive flooding. The Philippine Armed Forces vehemently denying the supposed walkout of generals during a command conference earlier this month. Clips of torture videos in illegal pogos shown during a House inquiry. We speak with the chairperson of the House Committee on Public Order and Safety, Congressman Dan Fernandez, later on in the program. And U.S. President Joe Biden tests positive for COVID. Hi, I'm Pramina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. We begin with an update on the massive floods affecting parts of Mindanao. A state of calamity has been declared in Pekit, Cotabato, where over 15,000 families have been affected. Maricel Butardo now joins us with details. Maricel, what more can you tell us?
Pamina, Sangguniang Bayan Resolution Number 24-068 declaring the municipality of Pekit in Cotabato Province was approved Wednesday, July 17. The declaration was made due to the severe flooding that the municipality has been experiencing. As of today, there were 18 barangays submerged with flood, wherein 15,628 families were affected. 2,718 families have evacuated, while majority preferred to stay at their home or their relatives' houses. Among the 18 affected, Barangay Talitay and Inugog were greatly hit, as these two were located near Pulangi River or the Rio Grande de Mindanao. The municipality have been greatly affected with flooding due to heavy rains brought by southwest monsoon since last week. More than 22 million pesos of corn plants were affected. Good thing that the planting season for rice have not yet started in the municipality. The local government unit of Pekit, along with other government agencies such as Department of Social Welfare and Development, Provincial Government of Cotabato, and Office of Civil Defense, have been doing relief operations. According to PAGASA, moderate with occasional heavy rains will continue to affect Mindanao due to southwest monsoon and low-pressure area. Maricel Botardo, ABS-CBN News, Pekit, Cotabato.
Thanks a lot, Maricel Botardo, there joining us on the line. And back here in the newsroom, heavy rains also affecting parts of northern Cebu. Our very own Annie Perez on the line now with the latest. Annie, go ahead.
Yes, that's right, Carmina. A huge part of northern Cebu was battered by heavy rains on Wednesday afternoon, forcing families out of their homes due to flood. In the town of San Remeo, its Municipal Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Office reported that 188 individuals were evacuating, noted that they had to be rescued as the water was already chest deep. They logged 14 barangays affected by the flood due to non-stop rain, and these are the barangays of Hagnaya, Poblacion, Loo, Lawis, Kayam, Toong, Lambusan, Batad, Tambongon, Anapog, Dapdap, Mano, Busogon, and Kinawahan. Several corn fields and crops were also washed away by the flood, and farmers lost more than millions worth because of the rains. Meanwhile, in Bogo City, Don Pedro Village was also inundated. Water from a river in Barangay San Antonio overflowed, submerging a bridge, hampering vehicles from passing. In the town of Tabugon, flood blocked motorists in the bridge of Sitio Candangas Dos, Barangay Ilihan. They also logged flooding in Sitio Anawahan, Barangay Kalambua, and Barangay Saba. Some barangays in the town of Bourbon was also flooded. Meanwhile, landslides were logged at Barangay Binungkalan in the town of Katmon, affecting a seawall, and Barangay Kantauan in Naga City. As of today, the Provincial Disaster Risk Reduction Management Office of Cebu continues to assess and monitor the damage brought about by the rains. PAGASA Visayas also issued multiple red rainfall warnings since yesterday, especially for northern Cebu, and said that these thunderstorms are brought about by the southwest monsoon, intensified by the trough of the low-pressure area. And that's the latest here from Cebu. Annie Perez, ABS-CBN News.
Thanks a lot. Annie Perez there joining us on the line. Rainfall warnings up over parts of the Philippines due to a low-pressure area. Let's get more details from resident meteorologist Ariel Rojas. He joins us live. Ariel, over to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Carmina. The low-pressure area over Southern Luzon continues its northwestward movement. At 8 this morning, it was located over the coastal waters of Binamalayan Oriental, Mindoro. The LPA may be over the West Philippine Sea tonight or Friday morning. Formation into a tropical cyclone once the LPA is in the middle of the West Philippine Sea is possible. This Thursday, Central Philippines will continue to be drenched from the LPA and the southwest monsoon or Habagat. It enhances. Up to intense rains are forecast over Mindoro, Northern Palawan, and parts of Calabar Zone. Rains will also be experienced in Metro Manila, Ilocos Region, Central Luzon, the rest of Calabar Zone and Mimaropa, Visayas, Zamboanga Peninsula, and Barm. The public is continued to be cautioned against widespread flooding and rain-induced landslides in many areas, especially in Mimaropa. Meanwhile, another low-pressure area may form and enter the Philippine area of responsibility this Friday. It may develop into a tropical cyclone east of Central or Northern Luzon this weekend. For now, no landfall scenario is seen, but a disturbance is forecast to enhance the Habagat, which will bring rains over Western Luzon for most of next week. That's the latest on the weather. This is Ariel Rojas. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Ariel Rojas there joining us live. In other news, pure fallacy and a sheer figment of imagination. That's how the spokesperson of the Armed Forces of the Philippines calls the reported walkout of generals during a command conference last July 4th. A radio commentary exposed that alleged walkout in the command conference presided by President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. But the AFP says such incident never happened.
We will not tolerate these efforts to malign our ranks or discredit our commitment to our mandate. So as we speak, we are exploring legal avenues to address this affront to the military profession. Matapang naming binabatikos, no, yung false narrative that was put out there by one of our retired officers. This should not have occurred, especially being done by a former officer of the armed forces.
Padilla adds there is no truth to rumors of grumblings within the military.
The morale and the state of morale of our troops is very high. We rest assured that Armed Forces of the Philippines is united and that they are very much professional. We thank the Filipino people because of the support that they are giving to the Armed Forces of the Philippines, which gives us, ignites the flame of patriotism of every soldier.
The Philippine Coast Guard says China's so-called monster ship is still in Philippine waters, contrary to the previous report of the Philippine Navy. PCG spokesperson for the West Philippine Sea, Commodore Jay Tariela, says the ship was still anchored near Escoda Shoal and has not departed since July 3rd. Maritime security expert Ray Powell believes the confusion over the location of the ship was probably because it moved outside the reef for 3 days from July 12 to 15. The PCG also monitored the presence of a 135-meter Chinese Coast Guard ship, which has been sailing near Lubang Island in Occidental Mindoro over the past few days. An international affairs analyst doubts the effectiveness of increased communication between Manila and Beijing in easing their maritime disputes. See, the two countries have agreed to raise the number of communication channels to resolve tensions in the West Philippine Sea, but Professor Renato De Castro believes this will have a minimal impact because the root of the problem is not miscommunication.
This notion of a hotline is based on the view na nagkakaroon tayo ng crisis kasi may miscommunication. Pero what is actually happening, ito nga yung sinabi ni Secretary Gibo Chidolo. Natatandaan nyo ho, nung pumutok ko yung June 12, Yungin incident. Unang reaction ho ni Secretary Bersamin, mis-encounter lang ito, miscommunication. But later ho, sinabi ho ni Secretary Gibo Chidolo the following week, hindi. What's happening there is a coordinated action coming from the Chinese leadership.
Calls for a blanket ban on offshore gaming operations in the Philippines growing. The Philippine Chamber of Commerce and Industry urges gaming regulators to phase out POGOs amid the industry's links to crimes and human rights violations. The business group, however, says officials should carefully manage the closure of POGOs to prevent a massive loss of jobs. This remark coming from the PCCI comes on the heels of 8 business groups, including the Makati Business Club, calling for a total ban on POGOs. Torture videos and other forms of abuse recovered from raids on illegal offshore gaming operators shown during a House inquiry into PogoLink crimes. In the clips presented by the Presidential Anti-Organized Crime Commission, Pogo workers were seen being hit, electrocuted, and handcuffed. One of the rescued victims told lawmakers he was only seeing a friend in the raided Pogo in Bambantalak, but was detained and then forced to work there.
You need to work around half an hour. After that, if without the payment, you already pay out the payment, and then I can get like freedoms. And like in Bamban there, and then I already get, when I first day, you already give up my phone, my personal phone, and then I lost my contacts.
The House panel will invite former PAGCOR chairperson Andrea Domingo and former Duterte presidential spokesperson Harry Roque to their next hearing. Roque was earlier tagged by PAGCOR chairman Alejandro Tenco as that former cabinet official who accompanied a representative of a Pogo hub. And we'll be speaking now with the chairperson of the House Committee on Public Order and Safety, Congressman Dan Fernandez. Congressman, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today and welcome to the program.
Yeah, good afternoon, Carmina, and to all the viewers of ANC.
Congressman, I was watching the hearing yesterday. May mga punto po doon na talagang nawawalan na kayo ng pasensya. But before we go into that, I'm going to go first into the most glaring and disturbing information that you may have unearthed yesterday. Ano po yun sa lahat ng narinig nyo doon sa hearing kahapon, Congressman?
Well, the exact reason why we conducted the hearing is to have the comprehensive investigation on the matter of the illegal activities of the illegal pogos, you know, around the countries. And we have seen the different illegal activities that has been perpetrated by these foreigners. And of course, with the quotes, you know, ng ating mga kababayan as well. And we have seen yung gravity of that incidents that happened, you know. And it's tainting the image of our country. And sadly, it also entails the positive reaction of all these investors. And what we wanted to dig deeper on this are those responsible as well on these illegal activities. You know, Carmina, we cannot deny the fact that there are certain elements of the officials of the government, the different agencies, might be collaborating or they are inducing proliferation of these illegal activities to profit out of this different scam. And that's the reason why we wanted to dig deeper on the problem of this illegal activity. Mm-hmm.
Let's go into that right now, Congressman Fernandez, because there was a great point during the hearing yesterday, a great period of it, when you were questioning and grilling Porak Mayor Pabil, Jing Capil, I should say. LGUs, Congressman, are very crucial in the fight against criminality and ensuring that there is peace and order as well in the country. Sa jurisdiction pa lamang po nila, dapat naaayos nila yun. But what was obvious to you yesterday as you were asking those questions to the mayor and as he was answering you unsatisfactorily? Go ahead, Congressman.
Yeah, the reason why I reacted that way, because I became a mayor for one time. And I have experienced a lot of things about those establishments that not given a business permit. What I did when I was the mayor of the city of Santa Rosa, we have an exchange of communication with the with that establishment, asking him to explain the violations that have been seen by the BPLO, by the assessor. Kasi Carmina, you have to understand that there are procedures to follow in securing that business permit. Mm-hmm. And apparently, that procedure that was being followed by the different LGUs were not followed accordingly by Mayor Capili. Kasi come to think of this, Carmina, no? O sige, hindi ka na nag-issue ng business permit. Kapag hindi ka na ba nag-issue ng permit, doon na ba natatapos yung responsibility ng mayor? Just issuing that business permit na hindi mo in-issue, that's all and that's it? No, hindi. Natatapos yun by securing that the premises must be padlocked in order to stop the operation of that establishment. Otherwise, kung wala kang gagawing pagpapadlock doon sa establishment, makakapag-operate pa sila. And that's the reason why those establishments that have been not issued these business permits are still operating in the country. And that's the reason why nung tinanong ko nga ang PAOK DF, ilan pa yung mga canceled na mga licensees that was issued by PAGCOR. And they told me that there still have like 401. At sa 401 na mga illegal pogos na to that was canceled, nandito yung mga list ng mga municipalities and cities that cater this illegal pogos. Mm-hmm. But we cannot blame totally the LGUs. Why? Because these are canceled licensees. Ano? So ibig sabihin, nung kinancel nila, we have to inform the LGUs that these licenses are also already canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So thereby, if they are already canceled, they are construed as illegal operation.
Mm-hmm.
So now, we will be asking the help of the different LGUs to do their job, to do their work, in able to process the closure of these 402 illegal pogos. So, lumabas yun kahapon. And also, sa PAGCOR, lumabas din yung mga binigyan nila before ng mga temporary provisional licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And according to them, meron silang 42. And it increases to 78. And these provisional licenses ay naging permanent na po. In other words, meron tayong 402 or 401 na illegal pogos, and we have like 78 na mga permanent license that was given to this IGL. So in mm-hmm. other words, identify na natin, Carmina.
Uh-huh.
Ang procedure na lamang is how to implement the closure.
All right. Even if, let's say, these licenses don't exist anymore, hindi po ba? As you mentioned a while ago, Congressman, the local chief executive shouldn't just turn a blind eye to it and just go on with his merry ways just because they canceled the permit. Meron po silang visitation power, di po ba?
Yes, correct. And that's the very reason that the responsibility of, we ask also the presence of the DILG yesterday, but unfortunately they were not there. That's the reason why we will be asking the responsibility of the different mayors on not implementing this issue of their visitation of the different operation of the pogos. Unfortunately, again, Carmine, because kadami rin po ng mga different establishments sa isang bayan, no? Most likely, na-aggravate lang tong situation na to kasi na-magnify sa media. And that's the reason why nakita natin na meron talagang mali. Actually, partly, kung ang mga pogos, ay katulad ng mga pogos sa Banban, saka sa Tarlac na ganong kalalaki, ang responsibility of the mayors is so huge. Malaki, enormous yung kanilang responsibility kasi ang laki eh.
Correct.
But there are those pogos na not so big. They're just using 2,000 square meters o kaya isang tatlo o dalawang kwarto lamang sa isang syudad. I think doon pumapasok yung nahihirapan yung mga mayors natin. I'm not trying to defend the mayors.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a mayor as well. And I know for a fact that 100% of the different establishments in your vicinity talagang mahirap pantayan.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, if the issue is about gambling, no, and there's a scam activities na nangyayari sa mga legal pogos, I think the mayor should have a first-hand information about it because meron nga po silang tinatawag na confidential funds and intelligence funds.
We're going to go into that.
We're
going to go into that later, Congressman. Pero balik muna tayo kay Porak Mayor. Do you think, with everything that you heard yesterday, with everything that he answered, knowing what you know now about what he did not and not do, and did, do you think that he has liability here? Are you going to recommend charges to be filed against the mayor? Meron na ho bang enough evidence? Go ahead.
Well, I think Don Ramina, at the point that he wasn't able to padlock the IGL building sa Porak, is a violation already. Because hindi na siya nag-issue ng ano eh. He told us that January 2024, he didn't issue a business permit. So, kasi ang procedure dyan, Carmina, yung paggagawa niya ng joint inspection team prior to the issuance of the business permit, nakita na niya lahat ang violation.
Mm-hmm.
At nung hindi nagbigay ng reply yung Porak, the right way to do is to padlock the building. Pero sinasabi niya kasi na taken over siya ng ano ng event na ni-raid na siya ng June.
But he had 6 months.
Yes, January pa lamang hindi mo na inissuehan after the non-issuance of the permit. Diba? At mas gustong-gusto ng company yun na hindi mo sila inissuehan. Bakit?
Mm-hmm.
Hindi na sila magbabayad ng taxes, diba?
Mm-hmm.
So ngayon, yung 6 months na yun, wala kang ginawa, you are responsible on those moments that you did not act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Because ang due process was already given. Pero hindi mo tinapos by putting a closure doon sa premises. Yung naging problem ng mayor ng Porak.
There's another thing that I wanted to ask you about because this was touched on as well during the hearing yesterday. May nakita ho ba kayong pagkakaiba kung paano ang pag-handle ni mayor dito sa Pogo Hub na ito kumpara sa iba pang mga business na nandun sa area niya? Because there is a huge conglomerate that has a business there. Its presence is there as well in Porak. Did you see any difference as to how he handled taking care of these separate businesses? Go ahead, Congressman.
Yes. There is a big disparity on how he handled the IGL building. Yung IGL building, ikukumpara mo to the whole hub, is so small, isang building lang siya eh. Dito nag-ooperate yung legal niya eh. Pero yung kanyang mga buildings on the different sides of that IGL, andun yung compound for the catering of all those foreigners that doing the scam, andun din yung mga places where the torture is being conducted, andun din yung mga restaurants, andun din yung mga gym, andun yung mga kwarto, andun yung mga different places where this scam is being perpetrated by the scammers. So, in other words, yung kanilang legal na IGL tower or building that is located on the middle of the whole 8 hectares, no? Yun yung legal.
Mm-mm.
Yun ang nag-cater ng legality, ng totality, ng 8 hectares.
Mm-mm.
But the problem with this, ano, naitago niya yun for so long. Di ba?
Mm.
But now, na nakita yun, na operate sila, meaning, ibig sabihin, talagang makikita mo that the mayor of Kapili is really lying, ano? Unfortunately, we have to link yung kanyang lifestyle, yung kanyang bank account, ano yung mga properties niya. So we have to really dig deeper on his relationship, on how he got this illegal money coming from this scam going to his bank account.
Just
so, yun yung mga pwede natin hanapin.
Opo, pero just going back to the original question, ito po hinggil dun sa IGL. Pero meron din namang an illegal activities linked to it, no? Pero meron ding ibang business dun din po sa Porak by a conglomerate, for example, a known conglomerate. Meron din po silang development dun sa Porak. During your questioning yesterday, nakita niyo ho ba yung pagkakaiba kung paano niya kung paano siya magpatakbo with regard to this IGL, and this conglomerate, the development.
No, Carmina, because we have been focusing on those, how he managed the, siguro yung sa conglomerate, being handled by them legally, we really don't have to tackle about that.
Mm-mm.
But most likely, if ever that magkakaroon ng link yun towards during the hearing and in relation to the illegal activities, then we will be tackling it.
Mm-mm.
We wanted to focus on the illegal activities that were conducted in the totality of the area.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't touched yet, no, yung sinasabi that other businesses are being conducted there as well. Basically, we have to protect that that issue as well.
Mm-hmm.
If there are no real links, you know, to the illegal activities and the illegal conduction of that scam being perpetrated there, I think
Pero may pagkakaiba ba? Opo, Congressman, pasensya na. I just want to make my question clear. Because nakita dun sa hearing, kasi paulit-ulit nung tinatanong din siya eh, may extension ka ba dyan? May office ka pa dyan? Parang, para bagang nagbubuo kayo ng, tinitingnan nyo kung may link nga siya dun mismo sa operation. Hindi lang dun sa pamamalakad niya bilang mayor, pero dun sa link mismo dun sa operation. Magkaiba ba how he conducts business with the IGL, for example, compared to other businesses in his in the area of his jurisdiction? Mas nakita niyo ba na mas parang mas may gigil siya dito or mas wala siyang pakialam dito kumpara dun sa ibang mga entities that would establish business in his area of jurisdiction? Go ahead, Congressman.
Yeah, if ever na-established namin that really a an extension of the municipal building was constructed in that area, then you can surmise that indeed he is protecting the IGL. But he said no doon sa question namin that he gotten an extension of the municipal building doon sa area.
Mm-hmm.
And having said that, kung talagang hindi siya nagtayo ng extension doon, probably we can say na hindi naman ganun ka special yung treatment niya doon sa IGL. But
mm-hmm.
I doubt it na probably wala talaga siyang tinayong per se na building for the extension, which is not official, but maybe meron siyang lugar doon na kung saan doon siya nagko-conduct ng kanyang protection doon sa kanyang IGL or doon sa ibang activities doon.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as I haven't gotten a concrete and a valid evidence, I cannot conclude yet, no, kung the treatment that he is giving to the legal or to the illegal are different.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, there was a point there yesterday when you were asking the mayor about his intel funds. Being once a mayor as well, alam nyo meron kayong ganon. And you can very well utilize that to ensure there is peace and order in your city, in your municipality. With how he answered, nung una hindi nga siya makasagot, hindi po ba? And then he gave a figure, 200,000 of confidential funds. What does that tell you, Congressman, about that? At first he couldn't answer, and then he said 200,000. Not even sure about how he spent that. What does that tell you?
You know, Carmina, the 200,000, I think, is we're talking about 200,000 quarterly, you know?
Mm.
Hindi yan 200,000 per year. I think, kung meron siyang, like, for example, a billion annual funds, baka mga, kung 2.8 million yung sinasabi niya, baka 200,000 yan a month or quarterly.
Mm.
Now, having said that, no, yung sa 200,000, if ako, mayor ako, I've been a mayor, and ang pipeline ko ano to exist in my delivery of good services in my constituents is precisely yung mga negosyante, yung mga different establishments. And by saying that, no, you have to protect their interest. And how can you protect their interest? You have to protect the peace and order situation in that area, and using that intelligence funds to have a peace and secure place for the establishments is the priority issue of different LGU. And as a matter of fact, ako ganun eh. Pag gumagawa ako ng COPLAN o tinatawag na POP,
mm-hmm.
yung Police Operation Plan, kasama dyan yung ano yung mga gagamitin ko para maproteksyonan ko yung area. Ano ang ano ibibigay ko sa mga police para magkaroon sila ng intelligence funds para ma-secure nila yung like for example dito sa area ko, nandito ako sa Santa Rosa ngayon. Itong New Bali, 'di ba? Ang ganda-ganda ng New Bali, Enchanted Kingdom, 'di ba? So ngayon, paano mo siya poproteksyonan, magkaroon siya ng peace and security? You have to put money on that plan, 'di ba? At yun ang tinatanong ko sa kanya, naglagay ba siya ng pera para i-secure niya at makita niya kung ilan ang pumapasok ng mga illegal alien doon sa area niya. And for sure, alam niya na dami pumapasok doon. Ang pinaka-chismoso at chismosa sa isang bayan ay mayor. And you should know everything that is happening in your area. And I really, ako, Carmina, no? Siyempre, ang hirap lang i-accuse without the actual evidence, eh, no? Pero I don't believe on him. Hindi ako naniniwala sa kanya.
So, diba, imposible. Imposible hindi niya alam.
Correct. And ako, as much as possible, I refrain from saying that being the chairman of the Committee on Public Order, as much as possible, I wanted to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, if you are going to ask me, you know, as a former mayor, diba, ang tanga mo kapag hindi mo alam kung nangyayari sa isang lugar mo, especially sa nagbibigay ng pondo para mag-exist ang munisipyo mo.
Mm. Eh, paano nga yun kung totoo man yung sinasabi na baka naman they were also under the pockets of, or under the, in the payroll of
and that was
the criminals.
The reason why I ask, no, why you didn't padlock that IGL tower, what is the 100 million reason bakit hindi mo siya pinadlock?
Mm-mm.
Kasi yun ang procedure, Carmina, eh. Mm-mm. Kapag hindi sila nag-comply, hindi na nila inaayos yung kanilang mga violation, padlock mo para mm-hmm. hindi na nakakapasok yung mga empleyado.
Final question, Congressman, because we're running out of time.
They cannot operate anymore.
Yeah, final question because we're running out of time. You mentioned a while ago that you have no choice now but to look into his lifestyle, more into his background and how he leads his life. Man, ano bang nakikita niyo ngayon? What kind of information do you have about the kind of life that this mayor leads? Go ahead.
Well, right now I really don't have yet, no, yung mga information about him because we are focusing on the criminal activities of that mga foreign nationals that was conducted in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Not only in that area but also in the other areas that are illegal pogos. But once that we have gotten information about the sinister effort that he had been through, most likely we will be digging deeper on this issue. Remember, Carmina, getting money out of these illegal activities is also illegal activity per se. And by that statement, ano, we can investigate him doon sa illegal activity that ginawa po niya.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. There's more to this than meets the eye, obviously. Thank you so much for joining us, Congressman Dan Fernandez, there, chairperson of the House Committee on Public Order and Safety. Maraming salamat po, Congressman.
Thank you, Carmina, at mabuhay ka.
All right, from there, we're going to take a quick break. Up ahead, former Senator Sunny Angara officially takes the helm of the Education Department. We'll give you details when we return. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back with more news, Vice President Sara Duterte formally turns over the leadership of the Education Department to former Senator Sunny Angara. Our very own Joyce Balancho joins us now with an update. Joyce, over to you.
Yes, Carmina, Vice President of Education and outgoing Education Secretary Sara Duterte officially turned over to incoming Secretary Senator Sunny Angara the leadership of the Department of Education. Duterte held a private meeting with Angara where she also showed the offices and rooms of DepEd to the senator. During the formal turnover ceremony, Duterte handed over to Angara the flag and seal of DepEd and also copies of transition reports. In her message, Duterte outlined the achievements of DepEd under her term and also recommended what unfinished programs Angara could continue in the succeeding years. These include the execution of the revised curriculum for basic education, the expansion of school-based feeding program, continuation of digital education program, the provision of overtime pay and free health insurance for teachers, among others. Senator Angara, for his part, said he humbly accepts the position offered to him by President Marcos.
Mga kababayan, hindi ako magsasawang magpasalamat sa lahat ng tumulong at nakibahagi sa ating mithiing maabot ang pangarap. Welcome to the chaos, Sec.
Nais kong bigyan ng pagkilala sina Vice President Sara Z. Duterte, ma'am, at kanyang mga outgoing officials dahil sa loob ng 2 taon, kayo po ang naging sandigan ng ating mga mag-aaral at ng mga guro sa panahon ng mga suliranin. We will build from what you have already started.
Carmina, after the turnover ceremony, the two proceeded to a tree planting activity that happened within the compound of DepEd. Vice President Duterte also entertained the questions from the members of the media this morning. She said there were many reasons behind her resignation. It involves the matters that are personal between her and President Marcos, which also includes those that she agreed on before she accepted to be vice president. She was firm also that First Lady Liza Marcos was not a factor, saying that she has nothing to do with her work as education secretary. Duterte also clarified that she has no plans to run for any public office in the 2025 election. Now, asked about her father, former President Rodrigo Duterte's denial that he will run for Senate in the midterm elections, VP Sara said, that remains to be seen since potential candidates are yet to file their certificates of candidacy. For his part, Senator Angara refused to entertain questions from the media yet, noting that he is not yet officially assuming office in DepEd today. Instead, he will call for a press conference on Monday after he attends his first flag-raising ceremony in DepEd. Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Joyce Balancho, there joining us on the line. Education, health, and jobs. These were some of the priorities identified by President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. in his last State of the Nation address. And just what has been achieved in the 2 years since he has been in power? Joyce Balancho returns with this special report.
We are recalibrating the K-10 curriculum to ensure that it is always relevant, responsive, and at par with international standards. Literacy and numeracy skills need to be strengthened. The virtue of good citizenship and sense of community are also now integrated into our curriculum.
Changes in the curriculum of basic education had been one of the pressing matters President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. discussed during his second State of the Nation address last year. Under the Matatag curriculum crafted by former Education Secretary and Vice President Sara Duterte, learning competencies have been reduced to put emphasis on reading, math, and life skills. DepEd hopes these changes will be continued by new DepEd Chief Senator Sonny Angara.
Ma-impact na yan because meron nga tayong feedback na maganda yung naging feedback sa mga pilot schools, no, ng Matatag. So na-feel na nila kaagad na decongested yung curriculum. But in terms of outcomes, in terms of results, it really will take time.
Tama yung direction ng Matatag curriculum at na-implement pa lang po yan. So dapat huwag tayo pabigla-bigla. Medyo i-maintain natin yung ating direction na talagang simplifying yung curriculum.
Curriculum change has been one of the interventions made by DepEd to improve the country's rankings in the Program for International Student Assessment or PISA. In 2022, PISA results showed that Filipino students lagged behind in math, science, reading, and creative thinking. DepEd believes digital education programs should be continued to also improve the students' performance in PISA.
Nang napansin natin dun sa medyo hindi magandang performance natin sa PISA, isang bagay na napunan natin is kasi computer-based yung exam. So to prepare our learners for this exam, dapat din familiar sila dun sa paggamit ng computers.
Alternative teaching methods such as online classes and modular learning have been made as permanent options for teachers to ensure unhampered learning of students. Some teachers, however, want to discontinue these modes, saying parents usually carry the burden of teaching. Addressing the classroom backlogs also remains as a challenge for DepEd, despite it being mentioned as one of the priorities of the Marcos administration. In 2023, DepEd said there were still 165,433 classrooms all over the country that needed to be constructed.
Nasa 150,000 plus pa rin yung ating shortage. Slowly, nagkakaroon tayo ng construction of new classrooms. Nagkakaroon din tayo ng repair and rehabilitation ng mga hindi nagagamit para magamit na to ease yung congestion natin sa schools. But admittedly, hindi rin ganun kadali.
Following President Marcos Jr.'s orders to ensure the welfare of teachers, DepEd also instructed that teachers be relieved of administrative tasks. It also released a department order to allow overload payment for teachers.
Ayon sa huli nating dialogue sa DBM, Joyce, no, hindi pa napipil yung up yung 5,000 na no na non-teaching position. So ibig sabihin, hindi pa puno ito at sa totoo lang, then ay kulang ito.
Close to the issue on education is labor.
The bane of the mismatch between jobs and skills among our workforce is being rectified through strengthened government, industry, labor, academic partnerships, and the continuous reskilling and upskilling training programs that we have put before our workforce.
The Department of Labor and Employment, or DOLE, crafted the National Technical Education Skills Development Plan 2023 to 2028 to match the current labor force with industry demands.
Yung isang programa na aming nire-revive at pinalalakas, yung Career Development Support Program. Ang bottom line nito, yung proper counseling sa mga estudyante. Ano ba ang sana i-consider nila na tamang kurso na kukunin nila para ma-prepare sila dun sa mga potential jobs na nakukuha naman namin ng informasyon sa mga business organizations.
Unemployment rate in the Philippines had gone down to 3.9% in March compared to last year's record.
Nakalikha na ng karagdagan na siguro humigit kumulang mga 2 milyon. Pero hindi rin sumasapat yun eh dahil every year mayroong pumapasok na sa ating labor force na mga bagong graduates. No? At yung mga iba na walang trabaho, nakakakita ng pag-asa na makakahanap.
The Labor Department, however, admits raising the salaries of workers cannot happen immediately as many demanded it to. For this reason, various labor groups have urged President Marcos to declare in his next SONA the inclusion of the legislated wage increase bill as a priority measure. On health, vaccination of children had been one of the directives of President Marcos in his previous SONA. The Department of Health said they were able to cover many, especially in regions where vaccination rate for measles, rubella, and polio were low.
Yung BARM region kasi, isa sa pinakamababang vaccination at nagkaroon tayo ng measles outbreak doon. Kung hindi natin na-control yon, kakalat yon sa buong Mindanao and buong Visayas and the Philippines. So what we did, nag-target kami ng 1.3 million children ages 6 months to 9 years old at binakuna natin sila.
A lot of issues on education, health, and labor are said to be prevalent even in the previous administrations. Many are waiting to hear new directives from President Marcos in his next State of the Nation address on Monday on how he plans to address them differently in the succeeding years. Joyce Balancho, ABS-CBN News.
The National Kidney and Transplant Institute says there is no basis yet to sanction one of its personnel being linked to organ trafficking. Suspects who were recently arrested in a raid in Bulacan pointed to a staff nurse in NKTI as the alleged leader of a syndicate. But NKTI Executive Director Dr. Rose Liquete asserts they have a stringent screening process for transplant procedures, and the nurse being accused has no access to organ donors and recipients.
She says the hospital is now conducting an internal investigation on the matter.
We advised him to report. We advised him also to be interviewed if he has to, so that he can clear his name. He is assigned in a unit which does not involve processing of transplant patients. So I don't think we can prove also beyond that, beyond his office hours. We cannot prove anything unless these witnesses that they have can give the details and really point at him. So as of now, we cannot really be sure what is his involvement.
Dr. Liquete has this warning as well to those considering buying organs.
Yes, it's rather dangerous because, you know, there may be abuse in all these transactions. There's abuse, or maybe some of these donors may not be really healthy, no? They may have some abnormalities or something, and then eventually they become renal, they become ESRD also in the future. We advise the patients, if you have no living donor, you enroll to the human organ preservation effort for the deceased organ donation.
World News Now, J.D. Vance formally accepts the Republican vice presidential nomination. The Ohio senator agreed to be Donald Trump's running mate at the Republican National Convention Wednesday night in Milwaukee. Now, in his speech, Vance said he and Trump would put America first. The Trump-Vance tandem will kick off their campaign with the first rally on Saturday in the battleground state of Michigan. U.S. President Joe Biden tests positive for COVID-19. Biden was set to speak at an event in Las Vegas to rally Hispanic voters ahead of the November elections.
Regrettably, I was just on the phone with President Biden, and he shared his deep disappointment at not being able to join us this afternoon. The president has been at many events, as we all know, and he just tested positive for COVID. He said to tell my folks that we're not going to get rid of him that quickly. We're going to have a chance to hear from him in the future directly. He's just really sorry.
Before testing positive for COVID, Biden made a pit stop at a Mexican restaurant in Nevada, greeting several diners and posing for pictures with them. The mayor of Paris takes a dip in the River Seine Wednesday to dispel fears about its water quality. Mayor Anne Hidalgo and games organizers fulfilled their promise after a series of tests showed it was finally safe to swim in the river. The triathlon and marathon swimming legs of the Olympics are due to be held in the famous waterway.
When we clean up the Seine, this will allow for Olympic events. This will allow us to swim in it after the Olympics and will be a major legacy. But above all, by cleaning up the river, we contribute to protecting the oceans and to making sure that all the water that will then reach the seas are cleaner. This is also our fight for the future generations.
Swimming in the Seine had been banned since 1923 due to health risks, but the French government has ramped up cleanup efforts, especially after Paris won the bid for the hosting of this year's games. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to visit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on our YouTube channel and on AMC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep well. Keep it here on the news channel.